while the setup is being ready, let me just perhaps take the opportunity to introduce this study that I would like to do with all of you this morning. And that will be the year of the rabbit. Now, we have, today is a very significant day. It is not only the day where we remember the Lord in the Lord's Supper, but it also coincides with the lunar calendar of the Chinese New Year. And this is the year of the rabbit. And you all know well what a rabbit is, so we shall just go on from there as we study this year, the year of the rabbit in the scriptures. Now, this is based on the text in the scriptures, Leviticus 11, 1 to 8, 44 to 49, and we shall base it on the text chapter 11 and verse 6, where we read of a list of animals clean and unclean, which the Lord would ask the nation of Israel to eat or not to eat. And if they should eat of the unclean animal, they would die. So we find that there is this list for us. But we have a lot of things to say this morning, so we will not read the scriptures, but they are there and we will be referring to them as we go on. Now, today is January the 22nd and it's Chinese New Year Day, as I pointed out just now. And as usual, nearly in the past, every Chinese New Year, I would speak on an animal of the Chinese New Year according to the zodiac sign. It is the horoscope of many people who think that the animal year and the animal in the Chinese New Year will be the animal that will affect their lives. We are not going to enter into horoscope. It is condemned by the Lord in Deuteronomy, and so we will then do what are we supposed to do. And what is that? And that is to see how the word in the zodiac sign of the animal be used in scripture. Now, I started this series in 1983, exactly 40 years ago, when I would speak on every lunar animal in the Bible. Then, in 1987, 1999, 2011, three times already I've talked about the year of the rabbit. And today is the fourth time I'm introducing the year of the rabbit. Some of you who have never been here before, it will be new to you. But those who have been here, well, I'm sure you would have forgotten. Inside the 12 years of what I said 12 years ago. So, I take this opportunity, first of all, to wish all of you, the Chinese in the assembly, a prosperous and productive Chinese New Year in this year of the rabbit. Now, for all of us here, what is this study of the rabbit? Actually, it is a scriptural study, a study of scriptures, a Bible study on our relationship and partnership, firstly with the Lord, secondly with other Christians, and thirdly with the world, how we should be related to them. So it is nothing to do with horoscope, nothing to do with the zodiac sign, except that I use the animal of the zodiac calendar to do a study of what the scriptures have to say, the rabbit. Perhaps you may ask me, where is the rabbit found in your Bible? Well, it depends on what Bible you use. You tell Leviticus 11, chapter 11, verse 6. Find out whether there is a rabbit there. Or Deuteronomy 14, 7. It depends on the Bible you use. This is taken from King James Bible. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, you not eat of them that chew the curd, or of them that divide the hoof. And therefore here we are introduced to animals that chew the curd or whose hooves are not cloven. I shall explain all that later on. And here we have the hare. You find it if you use the KJV and New King James Version, Revised Standard Version, the Living Bible. You see the hare there, but there's no rabbit. So how are we going to study the rabbit? The Greek word, the Hebrew word, is a bit ambiguous, and Bible translators are not sure what animal that would be. Well, whatever it be, whether it's a rabbit or a hare, which of course you know is bigger than a rabbit, and which some translators use to translate that word, that Greek word, the Hebrew word, hare or rabbit, let us see. A rabbit, of course, is smaller than a hare, but it is in the same family. Now, in order to be not to be ambiguous, let us use the Hebrew word itself, anabeh. Like, we would not bother whether it is a hare or a rabbit or some other rodent. But one thing we want to be sure, it is the Hebrew word anabeh. Now, what can it be? We find that in NIV and in the Revised Version, the word rabbit is used. But those of many of us here in Malaysia are familiar with the Malay word is arnab. So arnab is very closely related to anabeh. So most likely it could be rabbit, because that is the word used in Malay also. And that is the word arnab. So rabbit may be right in the translation of this word. Whatever it is, let's not argue about it, but we will consider this word in Hebrew anabeh. Now, the Bible classification of the rabbit. In Leviticus chapter 11, we have a list of animals that are clean and unclean to be eaten by the Israelites on their way from Egypt to the Holy Land. But they were caught, of course, you know, for 40 years in the wilderness, and certain regulations must be laid down in order for the Israelites to behave themselves so that they would be preserved in the 40 years that they would be in the desert. So here there is no definite purpose being listed, but we may conclude from the list given in Leviticus chapter 11, certain purposes, proposed purposes of why this list is given. Firstly, may I suggest that it may be for the purpose of sanitation. Remember, they are going to travel through the desert, and in the desert there would be all sorts of animals. Some poisonous, some infectious. So God must guard his people that they must stay healthy for these 40 years. Hence, the purpose of these animals being listed down as those which were clean and those which were unclean, which they must not eat and they must not touch. It had in view, therefore, the people's health, their preservation from contamination, that they would not die. What are those animals? They are those that could not eat the unclean. And what is meant by the unclean animals? They could not even touch the unclean. So, physically, it reminds of, it challenges us, we Christians. Because some Christians today use this list and say that we Christians must not eat this, must not eat that. Unclean animals must not be eaten, clean animals must be eaten. Are we as Christians regulated by this list in Leviticus 11? Well, if you remember in Acts chapter 10, verses 13 to 16, Peter was shown in a vision a sheet containing animals, clean, unclean, right down, brought before him. And God said to Peter, "Eat, kill and eat." And Peter said, "What is unclean and what is common, I will not eat." And the Lord replied, "Dare you say to me what I have cleansed as not clean?" So Peter was to eat, because he was to go on a ministry to reach out to the Gentiles. And the Jews regard the Gentiles as unclean. And God was giving him a ministry among the Gentiles. He must go to Gentiles. He must get rid of the idea of any uncleanness in the Gentiles. God loves the unclean Gentiles. And I'll show you why and how later on. So spiritually, unbelievers are out not to ally with them which are unclean, those which not clean. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 to 7, verse 1, we are told, "Come out from among them, and be ye not associated with the unclean." Oh, so among people, there are clean and unclean. And who are the clean and unclean? We shall discuss that later on. But for us, as the church, as Christians, we are not to be associated with the unclean. Now, that does not mean that we cannot be friends with them. There is another way to look at it, that we are not associated with their ways and with their fashions in life. Right. The purpose of classification, probably the purpose of sanitation because of health reasons. Secondly, it could be that the list was listed out because of sanctification. God said in Leviticus 11:44-45 that these people must be kept holy because God is holy. God is holy, and He wanted to preserve His people as they went through the regions among the pagans and holy people, that they must be preserved to be holy. Even as we walk through this world, we need to be holy, and that is important, and we must be aware of that which is clean and unclean. Thirdly, probably for the purpose of separation, that those of us who have been kept clean must be separated from the others around. Now, the Israelites will be going through pagan nations later on. And even in the desert, there will be pagan nations surrounding them. And they were to be preserved from the contamination that they might follow the other gods. And therefore, they must be reminded again and again, there is a difference. There is a difference between them and the pagan nations around. Even as we know that there is a difference between us who have believed in the Lord and those who are not. That we cannot compromise. So therefore, we read in Romans 12, 1 and 2, for example, "Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And we have been reminded again and again that we must not compromise with the world. They are out to conform to their they are not to conform to their abominable surroundings. In case they say, "Even so will I do likewise." And this is a maxim that we Christians have to remember that we cannot do what others in the world do. There is a difference, and we must know the difference. We can look at the things that they do, but we must not do what they do if they are things against the law. More about that later on. So, I have talked about the purpose of classification, that they should be holy, they should be healthy, and they should hallow the name of God. Now, the principles of classification. How would they classify clean and unclean animals? The significance of the rules. Animals that are clean are those that have hooves that are cloven. In other words, these animals must have hooves that are divided between the two. Like this, the hoof of a horse, the hoof of a camel and cattle and so on. The hoof must be divided. Why so? This is to tell us and to tell the Israelites too, with regard to their walk before God, that there should be a separation. There's just as a hoof has a division between in itself, so there must be a division between the people of God and the people of the world. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Now I shall explain John 13:10 later on as we go on later. The hoof must be curved, the cleft must be complete. Must not only the hoof be divided into two halves, but the cleft in between must be complete. It must not be partially divided. It must be complete. Thirdly, the creature must chew the cud. What is meant by chewing the cud? It is like the cow, as very often you will see sitting under the shade of a tree, and then you see its mouth moving. What is it doing? It's chewing the cud. What happened was earlier it had eaten the grass, and the grass had gone into the stomach, and it had was partially digested. And after that, it would have its rest. So it will go under a tree. And while it's having its rest, this partially digested food will be brought up again, and it will chew and chew and chew, nimble at the food, until it is properly digested, properly chewed, and then swallowed and properly digested. And that is chewing the cud. The cow chews the cud. Does the rabbit chew the cud? We shall find out later on. And so we find that first, to be a clean animal, the animal must have cloven feet, a cloven hoof. Not only that, the division, the clove, must be completely divided. Second, it must chew the cud. The cloven division of the cloven foot reminds us of what the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples when he washed his disciples' feet in John chapter 13. As he washed his disciples' feet, he came to Peter. And he said to Peter that he was going to wash Peter's feet. But Peter said, "No, Lord, I cannot allow you to wash my feet. You are my master. Then you have no part in me." Oh, that was my whole body. And the Lord said, "He that is washed or bathed need not except to wash his hands and feet, which get contaminated." The water bathing from top to bottom, you will do only once. And that would be our coming to the Lord Jesus Christ to acknowledge Him as our Savior. When we have as an animal with a cloven hoof, then it must be complete. As we walk this earth below, we find that we get contaminated by the dirt, by the sand, by the things in the world. Then we need to cleanse ourselves. And this demands a complete division. And that is the substantial washing of the hands and the feet, so that we will be clean from day to day. And as Christians, we need firstly to be bathed fully. Initial bathing, that we may be cleansed before the Lord. And after that, there will be the subsequent washing of our hands and feet to keep ourselves clean. But how do we keep ourselves clean? By taking heed to the word of the Lord. So that you find in Psalm, how can a man keep himself clean? By taking heed unto the word thereof. So we need to read the Bible every day and to go on to ruminate His word. Just as a cow must chew the cud to be clean, so we need to chew the word of God. And so we find that it is required of a Christian, firstly, the person who is sinner must go to the Lord Jesus Christ for cleansing. Secondly, as for washing. Secondly, he should maintain his relationship with the Lord as a clean Christian by washing his hands and feet every time when they get contaminated. Thirdly, he must chew the cud. He must read the Bible. And the way to cleanse us from our sin is to take heed to the word of God. So a Christian must read the word of God. And we shall confirm this as we go on later on. So we are finished with the specification of the rules of how to be clean. But what then are those characteristics of the unclean? To be unclean, we need to fulfill only one of the conditions. What is that? One, the hoof is not curving. If the hoof is not curven, is one like a horse, then you are unclean. Two, what does that mean when not curven? It means there is no difference, no division between us and the people outside. And the world, come out from among them, saith the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6. We need to have this division. And secondly, the cleft is not complete. That makes us unclean. We must have a complete separation from the world. But let us not misunderstand it. It does not mean that we stay away from the world. But we can go in the world. We can go into the world. But we are not of the world. We don't do what the people do and what the people say and where the people go. But we maintain our testimony for the Lord. And this is what we need to testify to as a Christian this year of the rabbit. Look at the Israelites. God wanted them to come out and not be mixed with the pagan nations around. And some of them, you read in Numbers chapter 11, that as just after they had just come out from Egypt, they said, oh, it's so dry, we'll walk in the desert. Oh, then we should go back to Egypt. Oh, then we long for the leeks and the onions and the cucumbers of Egypt. How nice, how pleasant. They came out of Egypt, but there was a big problem to take Egypt out of them. And it is so today. Many Christians still long for the old life, although they profess to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but their life as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is no different from before. Therefore, there must be a difference between the clean and the unclean. To be unclean, thirdly, it means that you do not chew the cud. You don't read the Bible. Now, please understand me. These are important conditions for a good Christian relationship with God. You must have cloven hooves. The clovenness of the hoof must be complete. And you must chew the cud. You must read the Bible. You cannot go on in the Christian life without reading the Bible. Now, when I say read the Word, I mean read the Word. Not read stories about the Word. Today, we find that there are many books available where there are very interesting stories. And day by day, we claim to have read the Bible by reading these stories about perhaps one text from the Bible. Is this reading the Bible? Is this having mastery of the Bible? We need to read the Bible as it is. We need to cover the Bible as it is. And not to read stories about the Bible, much that we can enjoy from these stories. The challenge of the Bible must be there. Next, the classification of the rabbit is unclean because though it chewed the cud, actually it only goes... You know, the rabbit, to some who are not familiar, you may think that it chews the cud. You look at a rabbit, when it's resting, its mouth also moves about, as if it is chewing the cud. But it is not. It is not chewing the cud. It is estimated that the jaws of the rabbit move about 120 times a minute. They give the semblance of chewing the cud as a cow does. But they are not chewing the cud. They give the motion of seeing being so, but not. And how true it is of Christians who give the semblance of chewing the cud, but not so. And therefore you find it's sometimes so difficult to make a distinction between those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ truly and those who just profess. Oh, they are among the Christians. They go to church. They sing hymns. They enjoy Christianity. But unfortunately, they do not have the Christ in their lives. Next. Therefore, this motion of moving the mouth is not chewing the cud. It is just an exercise in external motion. People see, people look from outside and see if they are Christians, but they are not. Next, the hoof is hoof, is not cloven. These people are not separate in their living for the Lord. They are no different for the list of clean and unclean animals that was given. The reason given was that the people of God might make a difference. But unfortunately, they did not make a difference. When you are a rabbit, you are a rabbit Christian, then you do not make the difference. Because by moving those jaws to and from, you are not chewing the cud. But you are giving the motion of chewing the cud, and that is profession and not genuine. Okay, so the jaws are joined because these claws are joined by a membrane. They are not completely woven. Curven, yeah, sorry. They are not completely curven. No complete separation in walk. Come out from among them, be ye separate. But there was no coming out. There was a lot of compromise. Romans 12, 1 and 2. There is Paul's appeal. Brethren, present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, that ye, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind to prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So there must be no compromise. Right. Now let's look at the spiritual significance of the rabbit. What does it actually represent to us, this rabbit? Do not be a rabbit. And here, because in so many Bible versions, we have rabbit, we have hares, rodents, and many other versions. Let's go back to the original, Annabeth. And we see that we need to be the Annabeth Christian. And what is an Annabeth Christian? It is not to be worldly. It is to be worldly. Why? The Annabeth is hoof, is not cloven, not divided. It has no division between what is Christianity and what is in the world. So we need to beware of the worldly things around us. Now, I do not know, but when I was young, I heard a lot of ministries teaching from the pulpit of holy living. No compromise with the world and worldliness. Today, there's hardly any preaching or teaching against worldliness. And we find that today we make no difference between holy living and worldliness. You go into a church, very often you don't find a difference between the world outside and the church inside. You find the world in the church and you find the church in the world, because there's hardly any more difference. And unsuspicious Christian going to a midst, into a midst of these people, does not know the difference. So there needs to be a separation of the world and true Christianity. At the same time, I'm not saying at all that the church should come out of the world completely, because the church is in the world but not of the world. So beware of worldly adoration in the will of worship. Beware of worldly attitudes. Now, in 2 Corinthians 4, 1 Timothy 2, 15, 17, we are told that we need to be careful of those people who come and beguile us with the word, with the words, with the wisdom of the world, so that we fall into it. So do not love the world, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And what are they? They are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. And today, the lust of the eyes is so prominent. We find all over surrounding us the temptation for our eyes to see things and to lust after them. Remember Joshua 7:21, when I saw, then I coveted them and took them. This is the attitude of the worldling, and unfortunately, the Christian is also adopting this attitude, where there is covetousness of things in the world and forgetting the things of God. The lust of the flesh. Today, if you look at that, and many young people today look at the internet, and even innocently, while they may look at Facebook, while they may look at TikTok, while they may look at some other program, somehow as you scroll, as you go into that boasting, and you scroll down, you are led into some adult site. And this is where today young people have to be very, very, very careful, lest they fall into the trap of being victims of the lust of the eyes and also the lust of the flesh. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word thereof. We need more and more young people today, as well as adults, to read the word of God for what it is. Right. There is the pride of life, the three things in the world. Love not the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And today we find that people seek to a name for themselves, to be at the very forefront of achievements in order for them to be proud. So again, let us not be an Annabeth as a worldly Christian. Thirdly, beware of the worldly avarice. Today, we find there is this attraction for wealth. More and more money. Now, in Matthew 6:24, let us remember that there is a difference between the mammon of righteousness and the mammon of riches and what is righteous. So let us beware of, I'm not saying that there is wrong with wealth, but what I'm saying is, as it says in Timothy, the root, that the love of money is the root of all evil, and we need to be aware of that. Today, even the church offers wealth, riches, prosperity to attract. So this may be an unclean way of attracting people to the Lord, and we need to be careful. Right. Do not be a rabid Christian. Another way, another characteristic of a rabid Christian, an abed Christian, is to be wedded to the world. Compromising cleft is not complete. 2 Corinthians 6:14. In the ministry of the word too, we find that even in the church, from the pulpit, there are times and there are places where we find the distraction, where we find the preaching of the word by attracting people to wealth, prosperity. As I said, is this what the Bible teaches? We need a complete severance from the worldliness of preaching in for worldly wealth, as well as as we find today, prosperity and even health. That if you believe in the Lord, you will never grow sick, you will never be sick, you will be rich, and so on. So we need to beware of this kind of ministry, because the club is not completely divided. Then thirdly, there is the management of one's work. Today we go to work, and many are employed in various places. But are we maintaining that witness for the Lord? Are we maintaining that witness for the Lord? We go to work, Do those of our colleagues know that we are Christians by the way we live, by the way we talk? Or have we left our Christian testimony at home and we go to work in the church with a different idea? Where the soul of the Christian as a Christian is that he's not testified to, but rather is just a physical person being there, but the Christian testimony is not there. And we need to bring the soul, the Christian soul, to work. All right. Thirdly, in the worldliness, in marrying, be ye not unequally yoked together. And we need to beware of being yoked together with worldliness. 1 Corinthians 6:16, we are told that if a person is associated with a harlot, remember you are not two people, but you are one, because the two to get up merged together as one. Right. Secondly, since we are not to be anabed, then what kind of rabid Christian should we be? We can be a coney, a coney. A coney is another animal in the rabbit family, but it lives among the rocks, a coney. And a coney is found in the scriptures in Leviticus 11:5, Deuteronomy 14:7, and in two other references, four times in KKJV, coney or conies. Now, why should I say that while you cannot be a rabbit, anabed, you can be a coney? Because the coney in the Greek word shaphen is one that is protected by the Lord. Now, apparently, from the very beginning, a shaphen is an unclean animal. But at the same time, we read in Psalm 104:18 that the shaphen is protected by the Lord and has refuge in the rocks. So there is an unclean animal that now becomes protected by the Lord, subsequently clean. And it reminds us of all of us. We were at one time unclean, but we came to the Lord and we have been made clean. Hence we are sharpened Christians. To be a coney or sharpened Christian is to be washed clean. It was unclean, but it can be made clean, as we read in Acts chapter 10, verse 15, where I referred to just now of the sheep that Peter saw in his vision of unclean animals that were lowered to him, and God told him, kill and eat. And he said, no. And God said to him, what God has cleansed, call not thou common or unclean. So an unclean animal can be clean, and that's a shaphen, because a shaphen in other places in scripture is regarded as protected by the Lord, taking refuge in the rocks. Another thing that we read in Leviticus 11 is that a person who has touched an unclean animal can be cleansed. He has to wait until the evening, and then he must wash his clothes. So an unclean person can be clean by waiting, perhaps thinking of what he had done wrong, repenting, and then after that have his clothes washed and be clean. So that would be a coney Christian. be washed of your ways by him washing, as we see him washing his clothes. Be washed in the water of the word, as we read in Psalm 119 verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word thereof. So, to be a sharpened Christian is to be washed, to be wise. Who are the wise? Now, we read in Proverbs 30, 24, 28, that the koine is listed among the wise. There are six wise groups, and among them is the koine. The rocks are their fortresses. They take refuge among the rocks, and they are regarded as wise. Just as the ants, we know how hardworking they are, therefore they are wise. They prepare for the future. Just like the locusts, they work together always as a team. They come as a group, and they are wise in that way because they gain strength from their unity. Thirdly, like the spiders, they are wise because they live in the palace, and they have, although they are small, yet they have this gift of living in the high places. And so we find in the koine among this list of animals that were regarded as wise. The koine takes refuge in the rocks. Why the rocks? Because the rock is a picture of the Lord God Himself giving the koine refuge. We read now in Psalm 18 and verse 2, the Lord is the rock. The rock, Psalm chapter 18 verse 2, the rock shelters. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. The rock saves. And my deliverer and the horn of my salvation. The rock strengthens. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. The Lord shields my buckler and my high tower, and the rock satisfies. As we read in Exodus chapter 17, when the rock was struck by Moses and water came out and satisfied the whole nation. And so the cronies, they take refuge in the rock. And we need to be like the Shephen. So with this, I end. This Chinese New Year, and in the year 23, will you want to be an anabed? Unclean? Worldly? Putting on a semblance of a Christian, going through the motions of Christian living? Conforming to and compromising with the ways of the world, disobedient to the word and out of the will of God? Or perhaps you prefer to be a sharpened Christian, where unclean as you could have been in the past, but now you are changed by the word, cleansed by the word, wise and walking in his will, sanctified and kept for the Master's use, consecrated and committed to his work, finding your satisfaction and refuge in the rock. This is a challenge for us today, even as we start the Chinese New Year. So with this, I give you this text in conclusion. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And that's found, of course, in Ephesians 5:15-17. May the Lord bless you all and give you a fulfilling and fruitful, a prosperous and productive and a blessed and bountiful Chinese New Year this year as we part. If you want to further see or to hear the study or to refer to it, then you can visit my website at Berita Battle Arm. Okay, so with this, I wish you all a blessed Chinese New Year. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for Thy word this morning, and we do pray that we may be like good, cleansed creatures, created with a new image to be likened unto Thee, so that we may be not conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, to be what? To prove that which is good, acceptable, and perfect in the will of God. So, Lord, we do pray that even as we part from here, Thine word may go with us. Be with us not only for this day, but for the year that lies ahead. We ask these things. Give me the thanks in Christ's precious name. Amen.